Gina Kaufman, and now you're listening to KCUR's Central Standard with the Food Critics to talk about dining al fresco out in the open air. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us about the restaurant patio we've got to check out immediately. 816-235-2888. We'll also take your picnic strategy if you've got one. What you serve, the spot that's perfect for throwing down a blanket or taking over a table, and your favorite stadium foods now that it's what I like to call sports season. Don't hold back. Let's meet the critics. Charles Ferruzza, good morning.
Good morning.
Charles is with us from The Pitch, and Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine. Hello to you.
Hello.
Jill Silva is also here this morning from the Kansas City Star. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Gina.
Let's start with restaurant patios. It's almost lunchtime, and I bet we've got some listeners who are making plans right now. We should include sidewalk seating in this discussion, I think, or is that a whole separate thing?
Oh, I think it's all the same. I mean, outdoor dining is outdoor dining to a restaurant. Doesn't matter whether it's a patio or a sidewalk. It all counts.
So
I can think of a restaurant that has both. The Classic Cup has that kind of sidewalk seating, and then in the back they've got that deck. And I prefer the sidewalk.
So, yeah, those are kind of different animals when you have them side by side to pick from. What is the difference there?
Well, the one reason I like Classic Cup so much is you could watch the people walk by. And, you know, invariably you see someone, you know or like, and invariably you see someone you don't want to see.
And that adds some suspense to your day, Charles. What will happen when I see my nemesis?
Exactly.
It's the see and be seen dining strategy.
Yes.
Well, Jill, tell me about some of your favorite restaurant patios. You've got a couple of downtown spots on your list, and they're on the slightly fancier side of things. You've got Le Fou Frog and Michael Smith's Extra Virgin.
Yes, I like both of them. Well, Michael Smith's is great for that people watching that we're speaking about. Cars are driving by, a lot going on at that intersection, so that's always really lovely.
In the crossroads.
In the crossroads, yes.
And what kinds of things do they serve? What makes, it's really set the scene for an outdoor dining experience at Michael Smith's Extra Virgin.
Well, it's mostly their tapas menu, small plates, and special drinks from the bar. And it's just a really lovely way to sit out and enjoy things.
Some slightly Mediterranean style fare.
Yeah, exactly. Mediterranean fare, just some really lovely dishes. You can order a little or a lot. You can have a small group or a big group, so it really works well. And they also have specials different nights.
Tell me about the Le Fou Frog patio.
Le Fou Frog is just a really lovely hidden gem, I think. It's hidden, isn't it? It's truly hidden. And
you can never guess from the street that there is this little enchanting place that lurks behind the gate.
Behind the gate, behind the curtain. It's just a really interesting spot to go. And when it's warm outside, sitting on the patio is just one of the most lovely things. They have little fountains and water features going. So there's that little hum. And then, it's just far enough off the road in the River Market area where you don't hear a lot of the traffic and you don't see a lot of walking. So for me, it's a really great space to just sit and talk to friends, drink wine, have a Cure Royale, one of my favorites.
What is a Cure Royale?
Let's see. It's champagne or cava with cassis liqueur. And it's just a, bright, bubbly, summery kind of thing to have. And then there's all kinds of happy hour specials. And the rondade is very, very nice. And
what is that?
It's a fish dish, a French. It's a very delicious kind of dip. They give you big, thick bread, and you just kind of slather it on and eat that with your Cure Royale.
And your friends who you're quietly talking with. This sounds lovely. Where is it located again?
That is just right east of the River Market as you're going towards Columbus Park on the north side of the street.
And you also mentioned La Bodega.
Yeah, I like La Bodega quite a bit. It's just got a real street feel to it, and you also feel sort of like you're going a different place. Now, there are two locations. There's one downtown, and there's also one out south. Out south is much larger, and they can pull up the garage doors and kind of get some air breathing through there, and so it's a lovely place. It's much smaller and under the traffic way over downtown, so it's a little noisier. But a lot of fun if you work downtown.
And that's a sidewalk style
It is sidewalk style, yes. And you can also go inside if it's too hot. But and there's good windows to see what's going on outside.
They've really upgraded their patio on the southwest. I mean, recently, just with some really adding a lot to the sidewalk, both in terms of planters to kind of make it soft with pretty flowers, as well as just making it a little more private so you're not kind of just on the boulevard. They actually have some things to look at. And then they have that really cool room kind of around the corner that is the garage door mm-hmm. that kind of opens up. To the outside, it almost looks like an outside-in room. I mean, it's literally a dining room that kind of just sits off to the side, but it literally is just an open space. Very cool.
What kinds of things do you guys order when you're out there sitting outside at La Bodega with your planters and beautiful flowers and traffic going by?
Again, it's kind of a small dish, small plate, tapas sort of thing. So there's all kinds of little interesting things that they do, and it changes all the time. But, you know, you might get a plate of olives and some hummus or some rice dishes. There's just always something different, a little bit of a paella-type thing going on. So it's
patatas bravas.
Yes, it's got that Mediterranean feel where you can get little, little yummy things like that, little nuggets.
What are the papas bravas?
It's basically potatoes with kind of a spicy red sauce. And patatas bravas is like one of the most popular dishes, I think, on their menu. And then there's another one that's like a sliced steak that has a bit of a blue cheese sauce on it that's really good. I always end up getting
that. It's very good.
So it sounds like a good place for sitting with friends again and sharing a bunch.
Absolutely. And then, of course, they're kind of famous for their sangria. They have a nice red wine list, of course, beers and full bar. So you can have a drink while you're there.
Awesome. Well, Charles, what about you? You've got some recommendations from outside the heart of the city in Parkville and Independence. I want to hear about those.
Okay. Can I say as a sort of a caveat, I'm one of those people that after July 1st, I do not eat outside.
Okay. So we're in your sweet spot. You're like,
this is it.
The couple of weeks where Charles Ferruza may be spotted on a patio.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because once it's hot and buggy, I'm out.
You don't like to sweat into your dishes.
I just don't like sweating, period. It makes me think of working out. So I do love...
The horror.
Yes. I'm sure my co-panelists here, do you all like Vivalore? That's such a pretty
patio. Oh my gosh,
pretty
couldn't
patio.
Be a prettier place.
It's a beautiful little patio.
Where is it?
It's on Englewood. Yep. It's in that Englewood shopping district in Independence. And it's a very romantic patio. It's a brick patio. And this is the perfect time, I think, to eat there. It's cool. The evenings are balmy. The food is very, very good. And
what kind of food do they serve?
It's sort of an eclectic menu. It changes quite a bit depending on, you know, who's in the kitchen. But they have nice pastas and entrees. Yeah.
So that's Vivalore. And it's a brick patio?
Yes. Yeah. With pretty little twinkling lights. It's nice. You know who else has a very comparable patio is Café des Amis in Parkville. They've got a very pretty,
I always forget about those guys. Yeah.
It's a very romantic patio.
It is.
Describe it. Describe the
it's
whole
like a treehouse
setup for this restaurant.
Well, you know, some patios really are at their best during daylight or in dusky. This patio at Café des Amis really comes to life at night. It's a pretty fenced in, because that restaurant's kind of up on a hill anyway. And it's got twinkling lights and
it feels like you're at someone's house.
It does. I think so too. Someone's backyard, someone with good cooking skills.
And a really nice patio.
Yeah, and a really nice patio. And, you know, I will even eat on the patio at Café des Amis after July 1st because it's cool. It's
shaded. It's beautiful trees hanging over it and the twinkling lights. I mean, it's really a lovely patio.
What do you eat at Café des Amis?
It's a French restaurant. Yeah. There's quite a few things I like on that menu, none of which are coming to mind. But it's a very appealing. And let me put a shout out also for the patio at Aixois too. In front of it.
Yeah, in Brookside.
Yes,
Crestwood, I guess.
Yeah, they have some. Oh, I should also say that. Who would have thunk it? On Tuesday nights, Aixois, a beautiful French restaurant, serves fried chicken. And let me tell you, it's delicious fried chicken.
Interesting. Yeah. Somebody must have a passion for fried chicken in there.
Well, I have a passion for eating it, yeah. Yeah.
So you could have your French restaurant patio experience with a little fried chicken.
Yeah, you could have a French onion soup and fried chicken and mashed potatoes. Who knew?
Who did know? Well, so, but back on Cafe Des Amis, I mean, like, we have obviously listeners north of the river, people who live in Parkville. But for a lot of our listeners, that's a road trip. I mean, can you tell me about the setting a little bit more? Not just the restaurant ambiance, but sort of what immediately surrounds it?
Good. Well, if I remember correctly, and I could be corrected here, but it seems to me that Café Des Amis is in an old house.
Mm-hmm. Well, red brick building.
Yeah, in Parkville. And
probably historic.
And it feels like an old house. I mean, the rooms are quite mm-hmm. small. And that patio, which I said sort of comes to life at night, is a very relaxing place. You know, and Parkville is really not that far from downtown. In fact, what, maybe 10 minutes?
Oh, it's not far at all.
Yeah. So it's close.
So just it feels like a vacation because of how different it is.
Yeah, and I mean, it definitely has, I wouldn't say this about a lot of restaurants in Kansas City, but it definitely has a Parisian feel, that patio.
Well, downtown Parkville is very charming. I mean, it has a very small town kind of throwback feel to it. And they've, you know, obviously it's all the old historic red brick buildings. There's kind of just one main street that goes to the middle of town. All the restaurants and retail are kind of surrounding it. And it's just, it's beautiful. It's very quaint. And it does feel like a little mini vacation, a little getaway. So,
well, Jill, you've also got something on your list that falls into this outside the heart of Kansas City category, Justice Drugstore in Smithville.
Yes, that's a little bit of a drive, but certainly well worth it. And they do have a patio option, which is really nice for people who maybe don't want to commit to the full-blown menu or sit as long as a dinner at Justice generally takes. And so I remember taking my kids up there a couple years ago. They still talk about how great it is. They really enjoy that patio area. So, you know, it's just the warm months they will have it open. And it's just kind of a little more relaxed, a little taste of what's going on. They often have brats and less fancy food than served inside, but it's still all locally sourced, and it's just a nice little main street you're kind of looking out onto, and it's a good getaway as well as Parkville.
Well, call 816-235-2888 to tell us about your favorite patios in and around town, and also to tell us about your picnic strategies or favorite outdoor festival or food truck. We're just wanting the whole gamut of outdoor dining in Kansas City because obviously it's gorgeous out. Jenny, you've really focused on picnics, and we'll be getting to that. But do you have any favorite patios or sidewalk seating options to share?
Oh, I'm sure I do if I thought really hard about it. Kind of nothing comes to mind. I mean, there are so
many.
That's
what I hate. That's what we're trying to help people with on this show, because every time there is a gorgeous day and I think,
oh, I have one.
Yes.
Oh,
see?
I do have one. See?
I knew it.
It just takes a second. Boulevard Tavern on Southwest Boulevard. They serve
that funny little brick patio.
Yes. I'm just charmed by that, I have to tell you. And there's...
Wait. Okay. So you guys have both been there and you know what Charles is talking about when he says that funny little brick patio?
Okay.
Well, Jenny, was it an alley once?
Yes, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was. And it's literally, you know, you kind of go through the building and come out a side door. And then it's a very long rectangle brick building. But what he means by that is that it's the two sides of the patio are just red brick buildings. I mean, it's literally an alleyway that's just kind of been converted. But there's something very charming about that. They've hung lights. There's beautiful tables and chairs.
It used to be Shiraz, right?
Right. It was Shiraz way back
in the day. So people might be familiar from that.
Absolutely. But I always end up out on that patio and want to be out on that patio for brunch. They have a really delicious and eclectic brunch with kind of some comforting things that people would know, and then a little bit more ethnic. They kind of branch out in several directions. But in kind of the early morning, you know, kind of hours, the brunchy hours, beautiful out there and temperate.
Brunchy hours.
Well, and the nice part is there's a breeze. Because there's two tall buildings, there's a breeze that just whips right through there. So it's very delightful in terms of temperature. So,
and it can be hard to get a breeze in Kansas City for much of the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, so, I mean, this brings up the question of what you guys like in a patio, a secluded oasis kind of tucked away as a well-kept secret or a popular place full of energy and buzz where people watching is endless and Charles might run into his nemesis.
They're too numerous to mention. I've always liked the fact that there are really interesting balconies on the Country Club Plaza. I'm thinking of, is it Bravo? Mm-hmm. No, not Bravo. Is that it?
Brio is the one that's on the plaza.
That's a great patio for, kind of watching people. And I'm not all that crazy about the food at Chewy's Tex-Mex, but I do love that little narrow balcony. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to look down. And
you be looking over what? Mill Creek Park?
Mill Creek Park and that beautiful fountain.
Well, I think anything where you can get up high and see a view from something that, a perspective you've never had before is always fun and always interesting. Thomas has an interesting roof on 39th Street.
We have someone on Twitter recommending Thomas. Tell me about that.
So Thomas is on 39th Street, and it's the old Cafe Allegro space. And did Cafe Allegro use that rooftop in this way? I don't remember, back in the day. Anyway, Thomas has converted basically the rooftop next to it. So you kind of have to go through the restaurant, grab a menu, and then you go up a flight of stairs. And it's literally this ivy-lined path to the rooftop. And right in front of you is the chalkboard with the drink specials. And then you round the corner and it's umbrella tables and chairs, a handful of them, maybe five or six. And it's a lovely place to watch the sunset. Right across the street is a new apartment building, so it's not as necessarily as beautiful to look at. And there's a lot of construction down on 39th Street now with what's happening at KU Med. But it's a perfect place to land just for a drink, just a quick drink, maybe before you go to dinner, or a quick drink, if you're on your way to a show. It's wonderful.
So that's Thomas.
Thomas.
I wanted to ask Jill and Jenny. I've never gone to, I like to eat at El Patron, but I've never gone to the roof at El Patron. What's that like?
I don't know how you get on the roof. I mean,
I see the stairs when you walk in, but I've never gone to.
I don't know if you have to request, I still haven't figured it out. El Patron's one of my favorite places to go on the boulevard for Mexican food if I'm wanting something really close to my house. And I have to tell you, I go in there and I put my name on the list and I'm always downstairs or in the second level. I never make it to the roof. And so I'd like to know
maybe
the secret.
Maybe you have to ask.
I don't know. Maybe.
Have you ever asked if you could sit on the roof?
No, I don't think I ever have.
I would try that.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like it's always packed. And so it's one of those where I just assume that it's not available or they would offer it to me. Would you like to sit on the roof? That would be the question asked, but maybe not. So,
well, Charles, tell me about Bun Mi Fan. They have sort of a low-key outdoor option, the opposite of it sounds like this sort of C&B scene patio kind of
this
thing.
This is the opposite of C&B scene. It's like no one is going to see you there. But, it has a beautiful, spectacular view of North Oak Traffic Way and a parking lot and weeds. But there's something really soothing and sweet about the two patio tables in front of this little fabulous Vietnamese restaurant. And it's my favorite. Well, for one thing, the interior of Bun Mi Fan is claustrophobic. It's tiny.
Tiny.
So sitting outside is really kind of luxurious.
Mm-hmm. So it's just the way to experience that particular place.
Yeah.
And Jill, how about Hank Charcuterie in Lawrence? Lawrence has a really vibrant sidewalk dining culture in general.
They really do. And Hank is just one of my, favorite places right now. It just really does fantastic charcuterie. That would be all those salamis and terrines and rillettes and all those lovely meaty kinds of appetizers and side dishes.
Hot weather outdoor food for sharing with
friends. Exactly. And they have a daily happy hour. So it's a pretty small place and it's in an old filling station. So there's not a lot of seating inside, but they do have seating in front, so you're looking onto Massachusetts Avenue, and then seating in a covered patio on the side. And so I'd highly recommend it.
That's Hank Charcuterie in Lawrence. KCUR Central Standard will be back in a second. We'll get right to your calls as well as picnics and festivals when we return. 816-235-2888 is the number to join this conversation. I'm Gina Kaufman. Don't go away. Hello again. I'm Gina Kaufman here with Charles Fruza, Jenny Vergara, and Jill Silva. They are the food critics this morning, and they're our guides to dining outdoors this spring and summer. Let's talk quickly with some of our callers, and then we've got some other treats for you. Sam, is with us from Kansas City. Hi, Sam.
Hi, good morning, Gina, and good morning, everyone. I was calling with the suggestion, Eden Alley on the Country Club Plaza has a wonderful patio. It's right there in the heart of the Country Club Plaza district, and it's a gorgeous brick patio, well-curated with wonderful flowers around, and you're just right there in the middle of it all, and they have really delicious food, too. I love their vegan tacos, and they do a wonderful brunch on Saturday morning, so I just wanted to contribute that.
Thanks, Sam. So Sam is recommending Eden Alley on the plaza, and we also have a plaza recommendation from Twitter that's Graham and Dunn. And we also have heard that on the west side, that the West Side Local has a great secluded garden-like patio. Let's hear now from Zach in Overland Park. Hi, Zach.
Morning, Gina. How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Oh, not bad. I just wanted to throw in a pitch because I am an aficionado of eating outdoors, and California has to be one of the best decks in all the city.
That's in Westport.
With music, some kind of jazz soloist sometimes, and the menu's always great. But just wanted to throw that one in case nobody has experienced it. But
describe it for people who haven't.
I'm sorry? Describe it?
Yeah, describe it.
Huge deck out back. They have a nice little patio in that horseshoe area, but the patio backs up to Mill Street, and it's huge. There's a back bar back there, and during the summer months, it's gorgeous with lights in the trees and everything.
And kind of a multi-layer deck, multi-level.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Exactly.
Well, thanks so much, Zach. Anyone want to say anything about any of the places we've just heard about? No?
No.
That's okay. Festival season is coming up. It is arguably already started. Polski Day was last weekend. Do you guys think the festival circuit in Kansas City deserves a shout-out and a show about eating outdoors here in town?
I definitely do, and I have one particular festival that I think really deserves a shout-out, and I will say right up front, I'm involved with it through the Brazilian booth, but it's the Mayor's Ethnic Festival, the third weekend in August every year, and more than 50 countries gather, and it's kind of a mom and pop.
People who kind of represent those countries.
Who represent those countries, exactly.
Via
food, dance, martial arts, singing, dancing, belly dancing, you name it. But it's a really great place to find some mom and pop sorts of eating. A lot of it represented or not represented by restaurants in our community. So it's kind of fun to be able to go, you know, globally hopping through booth to booth, trying all kinds of different foods. At Brazil, we always have feijoada, which is a little bit rich for that kind of heat, but a lot of fun.
The annual Greek festival is coming up at the St. Dionysius Church, the Greek Orthodox Church in Overland Park, in early June. Has anyone eaten there in the past?
Many times. It's a wonderful deal, you know?
Yeah, it is really good. It's really good.
Yeah, really good Greek food.
Well, the festival's a few weeks off, but believe it or not, they are already cooking. And it turns out a lot of the food is made by a team of 30 cooks headed up by one Mrs. Nella Wick. On the menu are pasticcio with bechamel sauce, baklava, and lots of Greek cookies and cakes. The recipes aren't filed on a computer or recipe cards. They are tucked inside Nella's brain. So KCUR's intern Caperton Morton went to her kitchen to watch her making dolmadas, or stuffed grape leaves.
I am already cooking the dolmadas.
Say it again.
Dolmadas, the stuffed grape leaves. I have them that are not quite ready yet. I think in about 10, well, actually, I could turn them off. And there are two different ways of preparing them. You can either bake them in the oven. I usually cook mine in the stuffed oven.
How long does it take for you to get to this process? Where I'm looking in a pot, and there are about 15 grape leaves on the top, and then how many?
There are three layers, and it took me, maybe an hour and a half to have everything ready to do the mixture of the meat, then I put it at the side, and it took me about an hour to roll what is in this pan. So, I will take some of the liquid out. Because this needs to cool off. And then what we'll do, we'll take some of the broth and I have the eggs. I only put the egg whites in there, and I get the egg yolks. So that's how we're going to make that with lemon sauce. It will be the egg yolks with lemon, a little bit of the broth, and also some cornstarch, so that the juice will thicken a little bit.
Okay. Tell us what you're doing now.
Okay. I'm squeezing some lemon so that we can fix our lemon sauce that we're going to add in the dolmabes. This is the old-fashioned way. I'm beating the egg yolks so they will get kind of a little bit, well, change color a little bit.
There were four in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We put a little bit of the broth and then the cornstarch. You mix that really good together. And then we're going to add up the lemon juice. I'm going to put the rest of the broth slowly because it's still hot. So there's how we make the lemon sauce. So originally, I was born and raised in Volos, and I was there till I was 18 years old, and then moved here. And Volos is northeast of Athens, about 3.5 hours by car.
The recipes that you have are your mother's?
Yes.
And mightn't some of them be your grandmother's?
It could be. You know, because, yeah, my mom learned from my grandmother and another lady in the village where she grew up. She was an excellent cook, and my mother got a lot of ideas from her. Another thing that we do in Greece, every region in Greece cooks in a different way. So if my mother heard from a neighbor or a friend that they did it this way, she will try. And that's how we came up with the recipes that we have. But I kept a little bit of the mixture and of the grape leaves. And this way, I will show you how it's been done. The mix I already did, which is ground beef, and I have the rice in it. I have fresh dill from my garden. I have fresh mint, fresh parsley, the egg whites, the rice, and some onions. And that's all there is in here, salt and pepper. The grape leaves that I have here, they came from a jar that you have to rinse really well, and then you cut the stems off. And then what do? You just lay them flat.
Nella has taken a leaf. It's been a little folded in the plastic bag, and she's laid it out, veiny side up, and now she has her golf ball-sized ball of meat.
Yeah, because this is a larger leaf, and actually I can put even more in it. And you just roll it, and there it is.
So what does it mean to you that you're feeding people who are interested in Greece?
I can't even describe the pleasure that I feel. It's such a satisfaction to be able to share my heritage with the American people, even though I consider myself to be an American, but it's wonderful.
That was Nella Wick talking to KCUR intern Caperton Morton about her dolmadas, which sound amazing. You can try them at the Greek Festival in Overland Park. And there are just tons of festivals in Kansas City throughout this summer. I have a soft spot for the Sugar Creek Slagvik Festival. I have not eaten there, though. All I can really recommend is the waltzing. The waltzing outside.
Oh, how cute.
There's a lot of waltzing. So how about picnics? Jenny, you've got a lot of ideas, and they're very thoroughly spelled out. Tell us about a couple of your favorite picnic schemes. I have to call these schemes.
Yeah, they are schemes. You have to plan ahead a little bit. But I have to just start by saying I have this picnic fantasy. Like, I'm the girl that has the giant wicker basket that sits in the garage that never gets used, but I really want to use it.
I'm that girl, too.
Yeah. I mean, I am that person. So what ends up happening is I put together kind of urban oasis, urban getaways. And that's really what this is. This is kind of urban food and urban parks. So where can you go quickly, pick something up that is, you know, picnic friendly, and then land in a beautiful place to eat it. So that's really the theme here. One of the places I want to mention for sure is the green, I think it's just basically called the Green Rooftop Park, that's on top of Constantino's downtown between 12th and 13th, right on Main, the new streetcar line. And basically, this was an initiative that Cordish did. But this park is this beautiful green space. It's got some sidewalks, some benches, some trash cans. It also has a beautiful art installation called the Prairie, I'm going to get it right here, Prairie Logic, and it's like an old train car that has like waving grass around. It's very beautiful, very haunting kind of to look at. So it's just a great space, and then you're surrounded by these giant, tall skyscraper, you know, reflective glass buildings of downtown. So you really feel like you're in this green oasis in the middle of the city. And I would just tell you that for ease, just go right downstairs to Constantino's and either pick up some delicious sushi from Kaio Sushi, which is still down there doing some sushi. They also obviously have a hot bar and a salad bar and even dessert. I mean, if you just want dessert, pick up a soda and go up to the roof. It's a marvelous, marvelous experience.
Another picnic scheme for us, Jenny?
Yes, absolutely. Let's see. Let's do the rooftop terrace on the Central Library downtown.
Can you bring food in there?
Well, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I always do because I have a giant purse. So, you know, it just ends up getting in my purse. So I don't know legally if they allow it, but I certainly do it.
We love you, library.
Yes, yes. We're trying to bring people to your place. So basically, their rooftop is another kind of urban oasis. It has a giant kind of human-sized chess set that they've painted with giant chess pieces. So you can actually go up there and play chess. They have some tables and chairs. It's got some landscaping up there. But basically, you just go straight to the roof of the library. And then I usually go to Sasha's Baking Company, which is right around the corner on, I think it's 7th, and pick up a ham and cheese croissant or a lovely quinoa salad, something that can hold up, obviously, to being on the roof, and eating up there. And then maybe checking out a book on my way out. So,
well, Jenny has lots of picnic schemes. Maybe we'll get to more of them. If not, they'll definitely be on our list of outdoor dining ideas that are compiled at kcur.org after all of these shows. But you guys, there is some disagreement, it seems, although I find it hard to believe, about whether picnics are actually fun. I heard yesterday that some people do not like them because they can't keep their food the right temperature and they find the whole thing awkward and unpleasant. As a picnicking fiend, this is hard for me to understand.
Oh, I just think it's too much work. All that packing and unpacking, Oiga Vault, I don't want to do it. And then you have to sit in the grass. And no, I there's a reason I like restaurants.
Jill, what about you? Are you a picnic person?
Yeah, I can be persuaded to be a picnic person. But
you must be persuaded. This is fascinating.
Well, it's definitely something that you have to think out. You have to plan your courses, plan your conveyance, whether it's Tupperware or a picnic basket or a mason jar, whatever it's going to be, you know, you need to sort of figure that out. So I tend to reserve it for big events where I get to go hear the symphony in the park or something like that. And I will really put some time and effort into it.
Are you a make your own picnic person or are you someone who picks up picnic fare for, say, symphony in the park your way?
I think I'm a little bit more of a make it yourself, but I can be persuaded to pick things up. And I also love it when food trucks are at an event. I will always opt for a food truck option.
Do you have any specific picnic ideas you want to share with our listeners?
I do. I actually have one that combines food trucks and wineries, and that's out.
I'm listening.
Yeah, head on out to Somerset Ridge, which is out in the Paola area. If you know where Lewisburg Cider Mill is, it's not far from there. They have beautiful vineyards. I just talked to Cindy Reynolds, one of the owners, and she told me today that it is the most beautiful she's seen it since 2006 when they opened the vineyard. And every Saturday and Sunday, they have food trucks there. This week on Saturday, they'll have El Tenedor, which is Spanish tapas. You see a theme here for picnics.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, they'll also have Fungal Fusion.
Fungal Fusion?
Yes.
Like as in fungus?
Yes, as in mushrooms, lovely mushrooms,
oh, okay.
Actually. And yeah, it's kind of a funny name, but so they'll be there. And while you're there, you probably want to try out their new cider. They have a sparkling hard cider that uses the apples from Lewisburg Cider Mill, and it's really a great summer drink.
So where is this again?
This is out in the Paola area, Lewisburg. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact address.
No, it's okay.
But it's a little bit of a drive. You have to go south about 25 minutes or so from southern Johnson County.
That's nothing.
But it's beautiful and it's really worth it. And just really laid back, fun, sometimes music. It's great.
Let's hear some picnicking thoughts from Jeannie in Kansas City. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. How are you all? I was suggesting that people can picnic out at Swope Park when Starlight Theater has a concert that you love and you couldn't afford the tickets or that's sold out. you can take your picnic right across the way. There's a picnic area, and you can still hear the concert. So you have the live music. You can have your group of friends, and you can enjoy a great buffet, you know, make your own stuff. And it's a lot of fun.
Jeannie, you have beat the system. This is amazing. Tell me about the picnic area. Lots of tables? What are they like?
No, well, it's at literally a shelter house distance. You can, it's gorgeous, and it's where they do the ethnic festival. And you can still hear, you can hear the music from Starlight in that area. And, you know, when I was young, my sister and I once went out there and just took bread and wine and sat on it. But now they've changed Starlight. And so I suggested it to the kids, and they went last summer and they had a great time. The concert they went to was sold out, so they got to hear it still, and it was just lots of fun.
Well, thanks, Jeannie. That's a fun suggestion. We're going to be jogging out of here very shortly, but what about amusement parks and stadiums, guys? I know our producer, Jen Chen, is a fan of those ice cream sundaes and plastic ball caps at the K. Anyone got a favorite stadium guilty pleasure?
I want to put a shout out for lovely picnics at the Shakespeare Festival, which I think is in June. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is such a fascinating stadium, Charles.
It's the only stadium I go to.
Oh, you have to just get a beer and a dog at the park. I mean, I can't get away from that, so I always go to the Dughouse at the Royal Stadium.
Sporting has a lot of nice food, too, that you can check out. It's always changing. It's where I get guilty pleasures, for sure.
Our time is up. Thanks to the critics for being here today. Jill Silva of the Kansas City Star, it's been fun having you.
Thank you. It's been fun having being here.
Jenny Vergara with us from Feast Magazine. Happy picnicking.
Yes, thank you.
And Charles Ferruzza of The Pitch, as always, a pleasure.
Thank you, Gina.
You can listen back to this show and get your hands on the big old list we'll compile at kcur.org/centralstandard. We'll have it ready by the end of the day. The weekend is here, but keep talking to us on Twitter. And Monday's show is our annual bike infrastructure check-in. Bicycle enthusiasts, please call in and tell us what needs improvement. KCUR's Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton, Sylvia Maria Gross, and Jen Chen. We get help from intern Glenn Frizzell. Special thanks to Caperton Morton. Linda Scher, Hannah Copeland, and Ron Yerman run the board for us this week. Our music is by Spoonbender Labs.